Parsons had been in Washington on Monday tending to merger issues. When he got home that night, his wife, who had been watching the news coverage, said, "How could you be so stupid?" The battle essentially lost. Time Warner capitulated. "Work something out," Levin told Parsons. "We've got to get this behind us." At 3:21 p.m., ABC reappeared on the Time Warner systems, even though none of the underlying issues had yet been settled. Then Iger called Parsons, saying, "This wasn't good for either of us, but it was worse for you." Eventually, Disney got almost everything it wanted in a deal valued at $3 billion. The victory was an early triumph for Iger and vindication of Eisner's firmly held belief that content was what mattered. In the end, Millionaire had trumped Time Warner's access to millions of cable homes. Parsons promised that Time Warner would never again unilaterally stop carrying a broadcast signal. "We've apologized to our customers," he said. "Our customers pay us $32 a month to get a cable service that includes ABC, and they don't care about our problems with Disney. They don't care about the legal issues. And one thing we learned is that there's no PR in the world that will overcome the Millionaire show." Millionaire had now proven itself to be more than a ratings juggernaut. Its soaring popularity made it a potent competitive and political weapon. But in the euphoria over the showdown with Time Warner, no one stopped to consider the implications of Eisner's content strategy. What if ABC hadn't had a mega hit like Millionaire? Phrased another way, what if Time Warner had dropped ABC and viewers didn't care? The implications of the show's success didn't stop with the victory over Time Warner. As a result of the previous summer's decision to schedule Millionaire three times a week for the upcoming 2000-2001 season, Eisner and Iger had slashed ABC's development budget, the rationale being that with Millionaire occupying so much of the schedule, ABC didn't need to order many new pilots. And in the chaos of Tarsus's final days and abrupt departure, ABC's development efforts were in any event already faltering. For the 2000-2001 season, there were only 6 comedies and 5 dramas in development, less than half the usual number. By the time the final decisions about the new season were made that year, there were so few options that the show's frequency was increased from 3 to 4 nights a week. As ABC prepared for the annual upfront presentations for advertisers in New York in mid-May, it was riding the wave of its new Millionaire-driven ratings success, just as the continuing internet-driven boom in new dot-com companies, all competing for public attention, drove demand for advertising through the roof. Rarely had the stars been so favorably aligned for network television. At that year's ABC upfront presentations at Radio City Music Hall, hosted by Bloomberg and Braun, the ABC executives reveled in it. As the lights dimmed, smoke billowed across the stage, and a hydraulic platform ascended, transporting Millionaire star Regis Philbin toward the heavens. "Go ahead, take a good look at me," Philbin proclaimed, "the guy who saved the ABC television network." ABC raked in nearly $2.5 billion in upfront ad sales for the 2000-2001 season, a new record for a single network. On May 31st, Survivor, twice turned down by ABC,